Sometimes we think that to develop an open heart, to be truly loving and compassionate, means that we need to be passive, to allow others to abuse us, to smile and to let anyone do what they want with us. Yet this is not what is meant by compassion. Quite the contrary. Compassion is not at all weak. It is the strength that arises out of seeing the true nature of suffering in the world. Compassion allows us to bear witness to that suffering, whether it is in ourselves or others, without fear. It allows us to name injustice without hesitation and to act strongly with all the skill at our disposal. To develop this mind state of compassion is to learn to live, as the Buddha put it, with sympathy for all living things without exception. And that quote comes from Sharon Salzberg. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. We live on a beautiful planet, folks. We really do. We live in paradise. Well, it used to be paradise, and it has the potential of becoming paradise again. But unfortunately, in our neglect of things, we have let the earth get a little bit run down. And it's in a pretty degraded state at the moment. But it's nothing that can't be fixed. And we still have the potential of creating an absolute heaven right here on earth simply by applying ourselves to the situation that we as a species find ourselves in. And as I've said a million times to you, I believe that we can apply ourselves simply by building community around us so that we have the strength of numbers required to stand up and make some positive changes to this system. Community is everything. It truly is. Because it's only by breaking down the barriers we have in our community that we are going to ever find the strength to address those who control us and those who have created the situation that we now see on the world. Of course, you see, our governments would like to blame us for the situation that we see on the planet, but it really hasn't been the people, the human race, that has created the state the planet is now in. It's been done by the rulers of our planet and those who control our rulers, because it is these people who have allowed all of this corporate monstrosity to grow to the state that it has and to turn the earth into what it's done, to always put profits before people and profits before the environment and the bottom line as the most important aspect of anything. This has been promoted by our leaders and by the corporate interests that control them. And the only part of it that the human race is actually to blame for is the fact that we've used the things they gave us to use because we trusted them, and the fact that to a large degree much of the human race hasn't woken up to this fact yet. They haven't woken up to the fact that these people are actually trustees and that we have the ability to haul them into line whenever we feel like it, if we can simply remember how the system is supposed to function. Because it's supposed to function with the human race as being the top of the food chain. And that doesn't put the government above the human race, because the government is employed by the human race in order to ensure that things run smoothly and efficiently. And I would suggest that one only has to look around them to see how much in breach of trust these public servants actually are, because the state of the world certainly would not indicate that they've been doing the right thing. And this is why I've been concentrating on trust law so much lately, folks. Not because I want people to suddenly learn trust law and run out and take the government on or anything. I just want people to understand that they are free and that the governments are, in fact, public trustees whom we employ to act on our behalf. And that's the way it needs to be approached. You see, I've been getting a lot of letters from people regarding trust law. A lot of people are writing to me asking me for remedies and asking how they can basically free themselves and go and take the system on. And folks, look, there's no form you can fill out that is suddenly going to make you free. You have to be free yourself. You have to know that you're free. I see trust law as a wonderful opportunity to be able to demonstrate to people that they actually are free, because you have these documents that show that you are in a trust agreement with the government and that you have the ability to hold them accountable for their actions. But it's up to you if you want to do that. It's up to people to do it themselves. And the most important thing about trust law, before you even go down that path, is to know who and what you are. If you don't know who and what you are, and you don't believe you are capable of standing in your own power, then don't even go down that path, because you'll probably just end up in trouble. You'll end up caving under the pressure. And that's not what you want to do, folks. You don't want to put yourself in a position where things are going to go very badly for you. Another person I was talking to about trust law said to me, well, even if you do all of this, I don't know how it's going to help you access your trust. And I couldn't figure out what he was saying. I didn't quite understand what he meant. And he kept going on about accessing my trust. And it finally dawned on me. And I said, are you referring to me accessing my security bond, the apparently millions of dollars that each of us has in their own name that's held in trust by the government, by the Treasury Department? And he said, yes, yes, I don't see how it's going to help you access your bond. And I said to him, I don't care about my bond. I don't want my bond. I don't care how much money it is. I don't want it. Leave the money there and put it towards the good of the country. I don't want money for what I'm doing. What I want is for my employees to stop dropping bombs on Iraqi children in my name. What I want is for my employees to stop destroying the water table in my country in my name. And all of the things that our employees are doing in our names, that's what I want to stop. That's all that I'm interested in going down this pathway for at all. I don't want my bond. They can keep my bond. I just want to do a little bit of housekeeping, because we're in a position now where the servants are running the mansion and they're doing a really crappy job, and they're only getting away with it because the owners have left the building and have never bothered to return, and the servants are now completely and utterly out of control. Exhibit A, Planet Earth. Another thing that people seem to be having difficulty understanding is the concept of non-compliance. A lot of people believe non-compliance is just sitting at home and doing nothing, and they say, well, Max, if we were to stop complying, how would we have food on the supermarket shelves? And they're not really getting what it's all about. Non-compliance is basically acting always in a state of love and compassion and standing up against statute law. Sure, we still need infrastructure to function. We still need transport systems to function. We still need our society to function. But we don't need to be paying income taxes. We don't need to be paying mortgages. We don't need to be allowing ourselves to be controlled by statute legislation that doesn't actually apply to us, because statutes are not actually laws. They are basically rules and guidelines written up by our employees. And they don't actually apply to the people, because we are above the government. We employ the government. So the rules that they make for their government employees don't actually apply to us. And that's all statutes are, folks. They're just rules that are made for government employees. And they trick everybody else into going along with them. The most effective method of non-compliance, folks, is love and compassion. Because if you are always acting out of love and compassion for everybody that you meet, then you're not going to be profiting from them. You're not going to be doing the wrong thing by them. You're not going to be dumping toxic waste into the river, regardless of what your company says you should do. Non-compliance is actually going and reporting the CEOs of the company for even asking you to do such a thing. Non-compliance is standing up against corrupt legislation when it's enacted. Non-compliance is going and talking to your police officers and asking them whether their job is to protect society or whether they are simply employed as a corporate policy enforcer. Non-compliance is seeing the system for what it is and refusing to go along with anything that suggests that you should be acting in any other way than compassionately. Non-compliance is about respecting your fellow man, respecting the earth, and respecting all life upon it. That's what non-compliance is all about, folks. Non-compliance is seeing the meme for what it is, the idea that the world has to be this way for what it is. It's just an idea. And people go along with it simply because they comply with all these ridiculous rules and statutes that are enacted by our employees in order to control those who employ them. Just realizing this and standing up against it and knowing who and what you are and standing in your own trust is a beautiful way of not complying with this system. I mean, for example, the Australian government sent out census forms a few weeks ago. It had on the form, we would appreciate if you fill this form out. So obviously they're asking you to fill the form out. I mean, saying that we would appreciate if you filled it out is certainly not an order and certainly doesn't make it sound like it is against the law not to acquiesce to their request. And yet they had the gall to say that there will be a $110 fine for every day that you don't fill it out. I simply wrote no contract on it and sent it back. And I haven't heard back from them yet. It will be interesting when I do. Because there was no contract, and even if they claim the form is compulsory, well, it's only compulsory under statute law, not under actual law. Now, a few minutes ago I said, look, the problems that we're facing in the world have been created by our governments because they are the ones that are in control. And so it's very difficult to blame the human race for what's going on, like our governments would like to do. I mean, they tell us the world's too polluted, and so we are now going to have to use energy-efficient light bulbs, which are incredibly bad for people's health. And this is what's going to fix all the problems that these governments have allowed to be created. But there is a darker side to it, folks, because, sure, the government is to blame for creating this situation, the government and the corporate interests that control it are to blame for this situation. But now that we know that, the onus is laid on us. The onus is on the human race to realize what's happened, to realize that our employees are out of control, that the servants are now running the mansion, and to take the matter in hand. We really do need to do this, folks. Because now that the workings of the system have been laid bare for all to see, it's our choice as to whether we allow this situation to be perpetuated. I mean, I don't blame the human race for letting things get to the stage that they are, because people were lulled into this false sense of security, and we were taught that everything's okay, that our government is always going to be acting in our best interests, and that they're not going to do anything to harm or damage us. But their actions have very much proven otherwise, and so now it is up to the employers of these governments to stand up and to take the matter in hand. We have to fix the place, folks. We have to fix the planet. We have to fix the earth. We have to stop all of this rampant pollution. We have to stop all this rampant profiteering. We have to stop perceiving that the economy is more important than the people, because the economy's fake. It's just a bunch of digits. It doesn't mean anything. And let's face it, folks, the economy itself is based on a monetary system that itself is based on interest-bearing debt. So how real is this economy? Take the interest off money, cancel all debt, and let's create a real economy. But we certainly don't have one and will never be capable of having one with this current economic system in place. So we need to stop attaching a dollar value to everything we do. I mean, look what's happening in Fukushima, folks. But of course, if there's any suggestion about mobilizing the planet in order to address the problem, what we come up against is the expense involved in doing so, even though money is fiction, whereas the planet is real. It's got me perplexed as to why every country on Earth doesn't simply stop what they're doing and go and address the situation in Fukushima, because it's not just affecting Japan, it's affecting the entire planet. It is absolutely out of control what's happening in Fukushima. It's far exceeded the levels that were released by Chernobyl already, and it is continuing to melt down. We have three reactors at least in a state of total meltdown. and they're right on the edge of the Pacific Ocean. And they're going to pollute the entire global ocean system if the people of the world do not take the matter in hand. The only way we're going to be able to take the matter in hand, folks, is if we start holding our governments accountable and start requiring our governments to act in the best interest of the people rather than in the best interests of the corporations that the criminals within our governments are currently supporting. And I have no qualms in saying that. And it just goes without saying for the politicians we have in Australia here. I mean, Julia Gillard, our Prime Minister, is probably one of the most corrupt women that human consciousness has ever spawned. She is an utter disgrace to both her gender and to the entire human race. And she's also a barefaced liar, folks, so she has absolutely no credibility whatsoever. They get me a little bit irate, folks, these politicians, and it's not just the Australian politicians, it's global politicians. I do get a little bit mad when I think about them. But even in doing so, and even in calling them criminals, and even recognizing Julia Gillard as being the corrupt disgrace and blight on humanity that she is, I don't wish to harm her for being that way. I can appreciate that she is the way she is because she has a completely distorted view of reality. She has a complete misconception of what she is and of what this planet and what the human race is. And she has been trained by the system itself to be the sociopath that she is. I mean, let's face it, folks, she's a lawyer. And lawyers are a special breed of person. They truly are. I mean, for a start, all lawyers don't care about the human race because they have a superseding oath to serve the Bar Association above all other things. So I would suggest that even having a lawyer as a Prime Minister is an utter conflict of interests because obviously she's got a superseding oath to serve someone else who is not the Australian people, and that is the Bar Association. And she's sworn by that oath to always uphold statute law. And statute law is fiction. Statute law only applies to public servants. So I can see why Julia Gillard is the sociopath that she is, and I don't judge her or wish to harm her for being what she is. And I don't really care about what she's done in the past. I don't care what any of these politicians have done in the past, folks. What I care about is what they do from this moment forward. And I don't wish to prosecute or jail or harm any of these people. I simply want them to come home. I want them to come back to reality. I want them to remember who and what they are and to re-merge with the human race that they belong to. Stop raping this planet. Stop raping human consciousness. Stop acting in breach of the trust that is given to them by the people that they are sworn to serve. Because, I mean, it's all out of balance, folks. All of these people are public servants. It's fascinating when you really look at the human race and you realize how many people we actually are and how we stand in fear of this tiny little group of servants who have taken over the mansion. It's fascinating. It's fascinating that we don't simply stand up and administrate our own affairs and hold these servants accountable for their actions and hold them in breach of trust. And again, all we have to do is dismiss them. We don't have to hurt them. We just simply have to stop the direction this species is going in. Because if we don't stop it, well, we're not going to have a species, folks, because we're not going to have a planet. And what species we do have is going to be locked into a completely totalitarian system. I mean, it's going to make Nazi Germany or Communist Russia look like a Sunday school picnic, what these people have planned for the human race. And it's happening because we will not face the shadow within ourselves and stand up and fix it. And as I've so often said, this is only going to happen once we address what we believe it is that divides us from our neighbours, because there is no division. The only thing that's different between you and your neighbours is their perspective of reality. And look, I know I repeat myself on these shows, folks, but when are we going to stand up and fix this problem? Because the answer is so ridiculously simple, and I can see no point looking for another answer when this is the only answer that there is. And it's such a simple answer. It's such a simple remedy. There need be no violence, no guns, no protests, no forms to fill out, no one to conquer, no one to hurt. Just a mass movement of compassionate non-compliance. It's very, very simple, folks. And I think that all of the things that we're facing on the planet, especially the fracking, is giving us an opportunity to step into this role. I see fracking almost as if consciousness is giving humanity an ultimatum and saying, well, look, you've got to face the fear, folks, and if you don't face it, well, we're going to destroy the water table and you're not going to have any water, so there won't be any life on the planet. So ultimately, folks, we have a choice to either face our fear and connect with those around us and then stand up and face our servants and put them back into their proper role as trustees, or to allow ourselves to be exterminated due to our failure to face this fear and our willingness to abide by statute law, which is simply a bunch of lines written on pieces of paper that have been put there by sociopaths to prevent us from ever holding them accountable for their actions and putting them back in their rightful position in society, which is that of public trustees. That's the choice, folks. That's the choice we have. So are you going to sit there and wait to ascend to fifth dimension? Or are you going to sit there and wait for Christ to come and save you? Are you going to sit there and wait for Isa to come? Are you going to wait for Comet Ellen to impact the Earth and all of the other things that are put there to distract you? Are you going to wait for 2012 to see what happens on December 21st? Or are you going to turn and address the shadow within yourself and then stand up and address the situation that we as a species are facing? And I know I'll get attacked for that, folks. There's been relentless attacks coming at me from Christians lately because I've been so blasphemous as to suggest that a little personal responsibility may be in order. And of course, when people criticize me for suggesting that they take responsibility, they tend to attack with ad hominem attacks and logical fallacies, such as they'll bring up other topics, they'll talk about chemtrails, they'll talk about HAARP and all sorts of things like this to draw you off down these little side tangents and keep you arguing about the aluminium content in soil rather than staying focused on the problem that we face, which is our failure to face the shadow in ourselves and hold the criminal trustees in control of this planet accountable for their actions, because that's the bottom line. And all of these other things are simply distractions to prevent people from ever looking at the actual situation and realizing that it's all about personal responsibility. That's how we fix the whole thing. Because once people choose to step into their roles as human beings and hold these trustees accountable for their actions, we can fix every single problem this planet currently faces. And so that is the perspective that people need to look at things from. But it is never going to be achieved until people actually realize that they are responsible for their own lives, they are responsible for the predicament the world faces, and that they are actually free to make change whenever they wish to make it. All they have to do is break down the barriers between themselves and their neighbors, start respecting each other, and stand up and say no. I think we can do it, folks. I really do feel that we can do it. I think the human race will rise to the occasion, and we will address the problems that we're facing, and we will find a remedy for the problems that we're facing. I do really believe there are a lot of people around the planet who are ready to stand up and face this situation from a center of compassion. I feel that many are just waiting to see someone else stand up first. I think there are millions and millions of people out there who want change, but it's very difficult for them to all connect with each other. So perhaps we need some sort of central hub where we can do that. But the problem is that even within the truth movement, there are so many people who follow the path laid out for them by others and who argue amongst each other over who's right and who's not, and which direction we should be taking. I personally believe that there is only one direction to take, And that is facing the fear within ourselves that prevents us from uniting as community and holding our trustees accountable. I really do believe that's the only method that will ever work, because one has to understand that they are free and they have to stand in that power, because until they do that, they never will be free. And a good example of that is all of the revolutions that we've had in the past, because none of them have really achieved anything. Not if you look at the world today, they haven't. Because human consciousness was never evolved enough to believe that it was free when it staged these revolutions. And immediately after doing so, we looked for a new form of government, when really all we need is not government, but a group of administrators who administer the infrastructure for us, and who do so in the manner that is directed to them to do by the people. And I think it's about break time here, folks, so I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for listening. And welcome back, folks. When I look at the world today in 2011, I find it fascinating that the average person cannot see it the way I do. I mean, I know that each individual perspective is exactly that. It is individual and it is unique. But again, it fascinates me that people do not question why they have to struggle so hard and pay so much money in order to live on the planet they were born on, in order to live in the country they were born in. Why it is such a struggle and why people are constantly thrown on the trash heap. Houses are foreclosed on, and life gets harder and harder for everybody, while our governments strip mine the planet and claim that they're doing it because of the economic benefits it will bring for the country. The coal seam gas mining that's happening here in Australia, the government tells us it's going to be a boon for the economy of the country, and yet everybody in the country is struggling to survive. The prices just keep going up and up. I would suggest it's a boon for the people who run the country, which is the Crown Corporation, but it's certainly not a boon for the country itself or the people who live within the country. And I find it fascinating that people don't question this more. It really, really does surprise me that people are so willing to simply accept things for being the way they are. There's a man who lives in Brisbane. He is 75 years old, he has a wife who is disabled, and he's had a hard life, he's done a lot of work, and he is at a stage in his life now where he's getting pretty old. He's 75 and he needs some time out, he needs to be able to have some enjoyment in his life, because he's worked hard for most of his life. And he's been living off his retirement money that he put away while he worked, but now he's got to a stage where he's run out of his retirement money because the price of everything has gone up so much to a ridiculous degree, and completely unnecessarily too, of course, because this is the way the whole system works. And now here he is at 75 with his disabled wife, and he's unable to receive a pension because he has too many assets, namely because he owns the home that he lives in. And so the government will not give him any pension. They have increased his land tax. He's unable to pay his land tax. And so they're telling him he'll have to sell his house that he spent his life paying off. And they're quite prepared to simply take that from him. Of course, they'll keep a lot of the money from the sale for the land taxes that they have imposed, which they have no right to impose. And they will steal everything they can off this old man, and they will cast him onto the trash heap simply because he has now reached the end of his usefulness. And remember, folks, this old man who has worked all his life is about to be thrown on the trash heap by his servants, our servants, because our servants have taken over the mansion and they work as hard as they can to steal everything they can from their employers. Our servants are, of course, allowed to do this because the employers simply won't stand up and hold their servants accountable for their actions. And that's just one example of what's happening all around the planet It's happening in all of our societies. It's happening in every city. It's probably happening in almost every suburb. There will be someone who has a similar story. So all of these people will end up in homeless shelters, and they will be looked on as the scum and the riffraff of society, the poor old person who never made it. And yet he worked his whole life. He spent his whole life paying off a house just so that he could have it stolen from him by the government as soon as he had outlived his usefulness. Of course, if he had been slightly more sociopathic and had maybe spent as much time as he could profiting from the needs of others, then perhaps he would have had more in his retirement fund and he would be cast on the trash heap a little bit later. But eventually, it will be the trash heap for everyone if we do not stand up and hold our servants accountable for their actions. See, everybody's talking about ascension and they're talking about the rapture and they're talking about higher consciousness and this great wave of awareness that is due to happen to humanity. But very few people will apply it to the reality around them, and very few people realize that this world that we live in now, we can transform this world into what it is supposed to be if we simply pay attention to what is going on inside of us and realize how it is affecting what is going on around us. One of the most complicated and yet most simple of all spiritual teachings is the belief that by changing what is inside of you, you can change the world around you. And there are so many people that have criticized this type of teaching and said, that's impossible for me to change my energetic state. It's not suddenly going to make the walls turn a different color. And they usually approach it in such a ridiculous way. You know, if I change my energetic state, it's not going to change my physical surroundings. They go into this logical fallacy type of thing. And people have often failed to understand how they can change the external world by changing their internal state. And the answer is simple, folks. It's through practical application. It's through balance. Because if you are in this correct emotional state, this balanced, harmonic emotional state, how do you possibly even expect it's going to change the world around you if you fail to be the bridge between the two worlds, between the two states? You need to apply what you're feeling to the world around you. You need to be the change. You need to always act in compassion. You need to treat everybody as yourself and respect everybody as you would be respected. And if some rule or piece of legislation has been put in place by the society that we have constructed that suggests or forces you to act in any way that is not compassionate, then it must be ignored. It must be stood against. Because such things are in disharmony with the human race. Such things are in disharmony with the laws of God and the conscience of God. Such things are in disharmony with your conscience if you would simply look and see it. And there's a sign up saying don't feed the homeless and there's someone starving in front of you. What are you going to do? Well, I know what I'd do. You must always act in compassion, folks, because that's how we change the world. We've reached a time now in our history where it all comes down to the human race. I mean, obviously, our system is so corrupt that it's going to allow the world to become what it has. So there's no point turning to the system in an attempt to find solutions to these problems. The solution will never be found from the same place that caused the actual problem. And really, when you look at the world, folks, you've got Fukushima just absolutely going off. You've got the Deepwater Horizon oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, and I believe that that is still leaking oil, folks. There have been reports of that. We've got all this fracking that's being carried out all around the country. And we've got the chemical spraying that's taking place in our skies. And I don't care what people say when they put forth these arguments in an attempt to debunk the chemtrail phenomena. What I saw here over Byron Bay Monday last week was phenomenal. There were planes that were flying very high. They were dropping trails and they were turning around and flying back the way they came. And there was at least 30 streaks across the sky at one stage in Byron Bay. And I had reports that it was the same all the way down to south of Sydney. So there is no question that our skies are being sprayed with some chemical. Just the strontium levels and the aluminium levels in the soil are a very good indication of that, because the amounts that we're finding simply cannot come from natural means. So these sorts of things are occurring. We've got this gas hub being built at James Price Point. They're building an offshore rig to harvest natural gas from the shelf below the ocean, just off the coast of James Price Point as well. And this is a nursery area for whales, for the humpback whale. Apparently they have their babies a little bit further up the coast, and then they come to this little sheltered area to rear the calves to get them strong enough for ocean voyages. And the government, of course, intends to build a gas hub right at that point. And this is also, as I said last week, right in the mouth of the Rainbow Serpent, which is one of the most sacred areas that exists for the original people of this nation. So there's a very specific reason, I would suggest, folks, that the government is allowing this to happen at this particular point, because there are obviously other places you could do it, and we don't need this anyway. And none of the population actually want it to go ahead. We've got 70% of Australians speaking out against things such as coal seam gas mining, and still the government says that they need to go through it because it's for the good of the people. We've got some carbon tax propaganda that's been posted on the Avas website as well. It's climate hope is now seen in Australia, and it's getting people to sign up to say, yes, we want carbon tax, because it's only Rupert Murdoch who doesn't want carbon tax, because he owns all these dirty companies. And people don't realise that most of these companies will not pay the carbon tax. The people will. It's not about holding companies accountable. It's about enslaving the human race. And the concept of man-made climate change is a complete myth anyway. And it's very notable that on the Avas website, most of the signatures that they're getting on the site do not come from Australia. They come from overseas, because, of course, these are not the people who will have to be paying the carbon tax. That duty comes to the Australian people. And it's lovely how Avas has set up a website and is garnering signatures from overseas that all say Australians should pay carbon tax. And it's very likely that this whole initiative and this whole petition has been set up by the criminal Gillard government in order to try to justify the barefaced lies that Julia Gillard told in order to steal the office that she now holds on false promises. And it's truly incredible how anyone could buy into carbon tax anyway. I mean, yes, Julia, come and take our money from us and pay it to the companies who created all of the problems. That's what we want you to do, of course. Because really, when you look through these huge energy magnates and all of these incredibly corrupt corporations that have caused most of the problems we face on the planet, what you find is that the main profiteer in all of these instances has been the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund and the people who financed all of these ventures. And this is all the same banking cartels that we pay all of our taxes to. So they've managed to create a situation where they can now make us pay for their misgivings and for all the damage that they have done to the planet by them presenting this completely false reality to society that they've been presenting to us for the last 50 years. I mean, it is the people that are responsible for the situation we face, but most of the people were lulled into it. Most of the people didn't realize what they were doing because, of course, we have a government-controlled education system as well, which does its best to ensure that people are kept in a very misinformed state. We also have our media organizations, which are also very, very proactive in ensuring that people never have access to the information that they need to in order to really gain a good understanding of what's going on in the world. The days of journalism have long since disappeared, and all modern media outlets serve to be are the propaganda arm of the government it's very, very rare to find any real journalism anywhere in the mainstream, anywhere in the world anymore. Real investigative journalism truly does seem to be a relic from the distant past. It has been great to see the spate of internet news sites that have sprung up, and it is good that people are getting out there on the street and investigating things themselves and reporting what's going on around them on the internet, because it has been a real boon to human awareness to have people doing this. It's good as well that people are presenting solutions and positive steps that we can take to improve things for ourselves, improve the plight of humanity, steps we can take to hold our governments accountable. Don't forget to look at the trust law sections on the Crow House. Now there is a new page called Lessons in Trust Law. You can go there and you can look at all of Dean Clifford's workshops. You can also speak to Dean on the forums. He's now a member of the Crow House forums, and there is a trust law board on the forums. So if you have any questions for Dean, you can probably go there and direct your questions at him. And I'm sorry, Dean, if that gets you too many emails, but well, that's just what happens when you step up on the front line, brother. For those of you in Sydney as well, there is a film called 911 Explosive Evidence, The Experts Speak Out, and it's premiering in Sydney on Saturday, September 10th at 7 p.m. at Sydney Mechanics School of Arts, which is at 280 Pitt Street in Sydney CBD. I will be there for the premiere of the film and meeting a few people. So if you're in Sydney, please come along and say hello. It'll be a pleasure to meet you all. And it's always good to support these type of local events when they happen in your town, folks. So yes, if you happen to be in the area of 280 Pitt Street at 7 p.m. on Saturday night on the 5th of September, do pop in and say hi. Something else that is happening late in September, on the 25th, I believe, is I'll be going to Uluru, the rock in the centre of Australia, and staying there until the 29th. I have a message stick to deliver to the local lawwoman of the Origini people down there, and that's something else that I'm very much looking forward to, folks. So anybody who's out at the rock between the 25th and the 29th, then I'll also look forward to seeing you. And I may even have a special guest with me on that visit, so that will also be something for you to look forward to. We are certainly facing some extremely challenging times ahead, folks, but no matter how polarized things may appear to be, all is certainly far from lost. I firmly believe that all of the negative situations that we are being presented with are all wonderful opportunities for the human race to wake up and realize who and what they are. And the more polarized things get, the more people will wake up. So don't lose heart and don't lose faith that things will change. I am absolutely convinced that positive change is coming. There are many reports about certain celestial events that we may be in store for, and all sorts of things, folks. A lot of people ask me about them. A lot of people ask me about things like Comet Elenin. And all I can say is, I don't know. I haven't been to the future to find out. I haven't been up in space to investigate these things for myself. I do feel that there will be some major changes that come to the planet, but I also believe it's all about energy. And no matter what happens, the most important thing through all of it is to remain in the correct energetic state. Who knows, even if something as bizarre as a pole shift in the 3 days of darkness that many people seem to be predicting, that many of the ancients have also predicted, even if something like that comes to pass, folks, the most important thing through that will be to maintain your energy through the transitional period. You see, it's pointless asking me what is going to happen and what I think about certain celestial events that may be about to occur, because ultimately I cannot see the future, And the only information that I have access to regarding these events is information that you have access to. It's all just information that's out there for all of us to make of what we will. One thing I do know is that if the Earth is subject to geological changes caused by a celestial event, then it is something that is way out of my scope to be able to predict or to be able to remedy or change in any way. If a celestial event is to occur, then there is very little that I can do about it. And I trust in myself, and I trust in spirit, and I trust in source enough to have removed fear from my psyche and to be prepared for anything that may happen. And I believe that if I am supposed to survive such an event, that I will be in the right place at the right time in order to do so. And if I'm not, then that is how it is supposed to be, because I have absolutely no fear of death. All death means to me is the completion of my allotted time upon this earth, at which stage I will move on to the next thing. And that's not being fatalistic or anything, folks. I just find that many people have a very, very bizarre concept of death. Many people seem to go through their life fearing death, and yet death is the only thing in life that is actually inevitable. And so it seems to be pretty pointless to go through life in fear of that which is inevitable. And I don't do what I do out of fear. I don't speak out against the system or the encroaching police state or the destruction of Earth that we're seeing out of fear. I do it out of love, because I am concerned for the future that is being created for those who will come after me. I'm concerned for the future that's been created for my son and for his son, for all the children that I see around me, and for the people that I will leave behind when I leave this place. Because all of these people are me, and I love and feel concern for every single one of them. The Earth is in a pretty bad way, folks, and the human race is going down the tube right along with it. So it is time for us to act. It truly is time for us to take the matter in hand. And peaceful non-compliance, a united stand of compassion, this is the only way that we will ever succeed in bringing about positive change. Much of the human psyche is very polarized, and if we attack the establishment with rocks and weapons and violence, then all it will do is attack us back. And that is the language of the system. Violence is the language of the Matrix, and we will never succeed in freeing ourselves from the Matrix by using violence to do so. Because it's not about violence. We don't need to hurt anybody. We don't need to smash anything or break anything. All we need to do is change what's in our hearts, and to invite everybody else to come with us, to invite everybody home. Give our leaders the opportunity to come home with us, to come back to the earth, to come back to country, to stand there on the ground and to feel the energy of this wonderful planet that we live on, and to feel the energy of each other. To understand how quickly we could bring about positive change on this planet and how beneficial it could be for all life upon the planet if we were simply allowed to do so, if we were simply allowed to reach the potential that we are capable of reaching, if we were simply allowed to be human beings. Because I believe human beings are naturally compassionate and caring creatures. And I don't think that any of this would have happened the way it has if the people of the world had simply been left to their own devices and had been allowed to emotionally mature. I think the fact that our history has been hidden from us, and the fact that our societies have trained us to be sociopaths, is a huge part of the problem. But I think it can all be remedied, folks. I think it all will be remedied, and I think the time has come for us to do so. Well, that's it for the show today, folks. I would like to thank everybody for your continued support of thecrowhouse.com. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a donation to the website. It is the only thing that keeps the site going, so I thank you very much for that. And thank you for anybody who has showed support for the trust law workshops that I'm attempting to put together to take around the country. And just thank you for taking the time to listen to these broadcasts. It's been a pleasure speaking to you again today. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take care until then. In La Cache.